What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Earbuds looking a little dirty? Time to discover Clinear Ear Cleaners. Made of a soft, flexible material, Clinear Ear Cleaners remove excess earwax and provide relief from itchy ears and dry skin. They have a unique design with a scoop on one end to remove earwax and a fin on the other end to exfoliate dry skin. With Clinear, get the scoop on clean ears. Discover the line of products at Clinear.com.
Forever Dog.
Oh, this is R.L. Stein book.
Yeah, R.L. Stein. R.L. Stizzy.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
You gotta love R.L. Stein.
It's so funny. So many shows he would just do at comedy clubs in New York, like right before quarantine. I was like, yeah. I felt like every other week it was like R.L. Stein's at UCB.
R.L. Stein's at the Pit.
I'm like, you just out here, baby.
He was doing mad pit shows.
Yeah.
And it was is that where he was?
Cool. It was like, I never got to see any of them. I think I worked all of them, which was frustrating, but he built like it was a huge audience. So many people came out to those shows.
Oh, I would have. I tried to go to. R.L. Stein had a show at the Pit. I mean, at UCB, I tried to get tickets to, but it was sold out. He had like two nights, and I was like, dang. Because, yeah, man.
Goosebumps,
baby. Those are the first books I remember buying at the book fair. And Tick. I used to buy like Goosebumps and the Tick books.
Oh, the Tick?
At the book fair.
Mm. Were you scared of when you read the Goosebumps?
Oh, I was terrified. I remember, what was it? The
Choose Your Own Adventure.
No, not even that. It was like a puppet one.
Oh, the dummy.
Yeah,
the dummy.
Night of the Living Dummy.
Night of the Living Dummy.
Oh, my goodness.
My first experience with Goosebumps actually was, I did this show I was in a choir of a show, and a friend's older sister had read all of them and would like, whenever we had breaks and stuff, would like be telling us the stories of them. They were so scared. And she was like really great at like, I don't know how accurate she was. I didn't end up reading any of the books that she told to us later. Right. But like, it was so fun to, you know.
I love it.
I was so scared of Choose Your Own Adventure because I would be like, bah, and they're like, pick one. And you're like, oh, man. And then like, it's like, if you choose this way, go to page 79. Like, if you choose this way, go to page like 112.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd be like, all right, 79. Let me just. Okay, I'll just go to page 79 and then a big old bat jumps out at you, bites you on the neck, and I was like, ah!
Oh, I love that. Yo, his books were so good. I remember he had one book that I remember I used to love Jim Carrey. So I was like, oh, man. And we had this cover.
Man, you didn't have to
and
say it was like, like that.
No, yeah, no, no. On. But I mean,
we
like,
still
I
still love Jim Carrey.
Okay,
no. No, I mean, I was obsessed with the right. Mask.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I remember,
mask, yeah.
Oh, the mask. The haunted mask.
I remember R.L. I didn't know. Like, for some reason, I was like, I thought they were the same, or maybe like a different title.
Well, no, it was not the same. The mask book. That's true. They had that. I forgot what that book was called, but yeah.
No, James is right. The Haunted Mask. And it was like, mask, yeah. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And I read it. And then I think at the time is when the TV show was coming out. And I was like, oof, boy, I couldn't handle any of that. I couldn't handle any of that.
Oh, the TV show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember it had a dope theme song.
I remember watching that back when I lived in Manhattan on Fear Street.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, great. Let's transition into the show.
Wait, what? Whoa. We were reminiscing. Wow. What are you guys talking about? What? I was just saying, I distinctly remember sitting in our one bedroom apartment. In Manhattan on Fear Street.
All right, and here we are back into the show.
You know, once you say it once, we heard it.
Also,
like, you don't
first
have
of all, that ain't the full name. See, listen, this the full name of this is
what's that?
Fear Street Part 1, 1994.
I said exactly where I used to live. In Manhattan, okay? It was Towers on the Park, baby, all right? Okay. Talking about End of Central Park, Manhattan Ave, and Fear Street Part 1.
You know, the part one does mess it up a little bit.
It does. Like, that's it a doesn't tough quite work. It that's doesn't work
one
as well.
That's a tough one.
And also,
that's
technically, one, the years one in the title, too. Yeah, so then, man, you have to be like,
we used to live in Manhattan. Don't do it again. This was back
in 1994.
Okay, I lived on Fear Street Part 1 in 1994.
All right, cool.
It, listen, Bray, this was tough. This is a tough
can
one.
Can we actually
you
start now? Nah, I'm ready to start.
Okay,
can
yeah,
we
let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what it is.
Like men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I don't know, man. The bitch seemed normal.
Dude, this dude was giving it everything he got.
Yo, good. I'm sorry. That was so funny.
I couldn't.
I think that kid is having a good year. I think he's in White Lotus.
Too. Listen, all of them. He is in White. I was wondering why I.
Yeah, he's in White Lotus.
This is my second time seeing it. The first time I saw it, I didn't know him. But then the second time, I was like,
he's one of the funnier parts of White Lotus because he's so freaking weird. And he looks kind of like he has a weird look. Like he looks like the proportions don't exactly aren't right. And so like, he's just like, he plays kind of a different character actually in White Lotus than he does in this.
Yeah.
I just Googled everybody and saw that it was like, he's having a good year. I've never seen White Lotus. So yeah, I had one to Negro on it. Right. So I was like, that's no point in me watching it.
Nah, you don't need to watch it. So, no, I mean like,
I love Natasha.
No, I mean, friend of the show, Natasha Rockwell is in it and she's incredible.
Love Natasha.
On it.
Yeah, there it is.
But you know, there's some problems with White Lotus.
The only white white show I'm going to watch where white people like are talking about how trash they are. Braylock took me 3 years to agree to it, but Succession. Like I got one that's in my true palette.
Yeah,
it took three years. It's all these
Kat
HBO shows was like
keep like going like maybe we're gonna start, but I don't know.
James, listen, it took me 3 years. It is, I have never, and we're gonna get into the real show. I have never cheered a finale. Like I did season two
cheered
finale.
A finale? Okay.
Because I was hyped.
Okay,
you followed
right. Well,
the character.
Hold on, don't hype it up.
I'm not going to say
that. I'm going to be, you know, if it's not as hype, you know what I'm saying? If it's not as hype to me, then I'm going to
James,
be...
it's been like 2 years since it's been off. Okay. It's coming back. Like I saw it late.
I'm not saying it's a spoiler. I'm saying if you hype it, then I'm going to be like, oh.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, if you're going to watch those other shows with white people being like, oh, I'm white now. There's a better show that talks about I'm white now. Because you know, Hacks is like, oh, I'm white, but I'm an old white woman.
Succession isn't and that. Succession isn't about you, about these people having any sort of self-reflection. Like, it's about just terrible people.
That's why I like it.
Exactly.
That's why I like it,
yeah, of course. Yes.
Because it's like the other shows be like, look at, we learn it. Yeah, I'm like, no, fuck that. No. Be who you are and let me judge you accordingly based upon it.
For those of you who haven't heard this podcast before, this voice that brought you that hilarious opener and will continue to bring insightful commentary and
you keep smacking
and incredible smacks is Jonathan Braylock.
Oh man, this voice that is already tired is that of Draw Milligan,
and this voice is James the Third.
What? I can't hear you. Say it again.
Yeah, this
honestly.
Voice is James the Third.
It's so
I feel like James's voice
register.
Is better than I feel like it's better than both of our voices right now. I feel like that's like a
yeah.
James on a whole different show.
I'm taking you back to talk radio.
Okay. We review the films of leading black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today we are reviewing the Netflix film Fear Street Part 1. 1994. It's a long title. It stars Kiana Madeira, is how you say her name, I believe.
Yeah, she's on another Netflix show that was popular. Netflix, I will say, when they get these young actors, they're like, all right, cool. we like you on this show. We just gonna
rotate. She's so much older than she looks. Like,
yeah, really.
Yeah. She looks like she's in high school.
Yeah, yeah. She's like a full adult.
Yeah, but she's like trinkets. She's born in 92, so she's like 29. She's like 28, actually.
28. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, she's from Canada. She's born in Toronto.
Yeah, because it's so funny because when I first started watching it, I saw her brother and I was like, so are these niggas adopted? They're not going to talk about it. And I Googled her and I was like, oh, no. She black, lit. It's a black girl as lead of this joint. I'm with it.
But they do. They are totally mixed, different, right? Complexions, though. And so that does like my fam, we were totally different complexions, too, from the same, from the same parents. But it can still be jarring when you see it on screen because we're so not used to that.
Right.
I love that little black kid. What's the black boy?
Yeah, he was great. From Rim of the World.
That's what he was from. Yeah. Rim of the World.
Benjamin Flores Jr.
Wow. That's what he was from.
Yeah.
He was fun.
He's great.
Yeah, he was fun in Rim of the World too.
Yeah, I liked him. Oh my goodness. I'm looking.
And then we got Julia Raywald, and then Olivia Scott Welch is who plays Sam.
I thought all the actors were good in this. It's so funny. I went on a deep dive. I looked up the actress who died at the very beginning, and I was like, "Oh man, she's in Stranger Things. Where did this girl come from? She's good."
Yeah,
I had no idea her parents were Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman. I was like, "Oh shit!"
Oh snap!
Because I was like, "Oh man, this girl." Literally, my thought watching it was, "It's like, oh, it's like Scream. Like, this girl's been in everything. Where is she from?" And I'm like, "Oh, she about to be from Juilliard or some shit." And I was like, "Oh, you Ethan Hawke's kid." I was like, great for you. I was like, this is awesome.
You know, that's how it goes, baby.
Great for you.
I honestly, generally, it never hit me once that was, I know I should have, it never even came across my mind that her parents were like
famous. In Stranger Things, I guess that maybe something that was something Kat was talking about or something, but like people were talking about it then. And I was like, I didn't see it at all. And then in this movie, it was very clear. Like that's who she's related to by the time, like, I don't know if it's, I'm like used to seeing her face now and I can kind of see the resemblance, but at the time for Stranger Things, I was like,
my kid's about to be in everything. Use my last name. Don't change shit. I want you to be like,
yeah, it's going to be a bunch of little thirds.
Fuck that.
Out there.
damn that. Like, put your name, use the last name. Shit. I work for this name. yeah.
So this movie has an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
The audience score is 63%.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. The audience score is so crazy sometimes. Oh, wow. I never really understand.
I'm intrigued.
I don't know. I don't get it. But yeah, this is based off the R.L. Stein book. I guess was this also a series? Yes, it was a series of books.
Yeah, I don't know if that were like, was this story, do either of y'all know the Fear Streets? Like, I don't know if this story was one of the stories, but they were like slasher, they were like, there were some, they were of this caliber, I guess, or of this sort of concept.
I'm reading on Wikipedia and it says like it takes place in the fictional town of Shadyside. And there is reference to a curse that started in puritanical times for burning a witch at the stake. So it seems like and then this says the plot for the books occurs between the late 1980s and early 1990s.
Okay. So then, they're probably sticking as close to it as they can, while updating it however they wanted to.
I mean, that's crazy because that means it actually was a slasher, which is
I remember it being like we were talking about the titles on my other podcast, and we were like, oh yeah, that's my boyfriend killed my something. It was like the titles are like murder.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if this movie has an official rating because it was Netflix, but it's definitely rated R.
Yo, they were messing these kids up. And that's, I was like, they were treating these kids. It's funny because when you see these slashers, it's usually 20s. I mean, well, I know this main actress is a little bit older, but she looks really young. But it's usually like 30 something people playing like high schoolers. Whereas in this one, most of the kids are close to the age. And I was like, they was messing these kids up in this movie. I was like, ooh, I'm not used to this.
Yeah,
I'm not used to seeing like
younger, even though in a lot of slasher movies, they are kind of teens or college kids. They're usually pretty young.
I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, like Carrie is in high school. And is Halloween in high school? Are they in high school?
Yeah, they're in high school.
And it's like, but it's also like watching Scream 4. Because we're adults when we watch Scream 4. So they just look like kids.
Oh, yeah. Scream in high school,
the first Scream, they seem so much old. I don't know those actors were so much older, but I can't imagine that they were significantly older than the actors.
Yeah, Drew Barrymore was probably close to...
Drew Barrymore, for sure. But then, Neve Campbell.
I think they all were 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20s. Yeah. But I think all these actors are 20s. They just look young.
They just look young, yeah.
Right.
I think even Scream 4, I look at it and it's like they look young, but they still look like older. Like, like Bray said, these kids look like kids. So when they were like things happening, I was like, no.
The girl who plays Sam is very young. She was born in 1998.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So I was like, you said she's close to age. I was like, man, they're close.
So she's like 22, 20, you know.
I love this open, though. The thing is, it's so funny because I know Scream was supposed to be a parody of, you know, so many horror movies before, but it's become so famous in its own right and original. It's like, I love this homage to like the Scream opening, the famous person in the movie getting murked first, spoilers for the Fear Street that came out in the summer. But yeah, the fact that she died kind of in that, I don't know, like it was Scream, but not because it wasn't like the voice kept talking to her, but it was like, it still rang, it still called, you know?
But it was exact. They literally do that shot where they...
The slow motion.
That is the way Drew Barrymore dies in the beginning of Scream. Like, it's exactly that sequence.
Are you talking about a different movie right now?
No, we're talking about this movie, how the girl about this dies movie, in this one.
The way Maya dies.
Part one.
In Fear Street Part One, when she's running and the mask killer is behind her and it slows down and the stab happens. That's exactly like the beginning of Scream. And even the pulling off of the mask, but then at this, of course, we see who he is, but in Scream we don't see.
This kid is from, I don't know why I'm plugging Sheila Gray's acting class like she gave me money, but he was in my acting class. What? Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit.
Yeah, man.
Okay,
hold on.
Which one?
He's the killer. Yeah, he's the killer.
Okay.
He's the killer in this. He's been in a couple of Netflix. Again, Netflix, when they have their young talent, they literally will like put you in a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, that is very, very cool.
Right. Okay. Well, shall we do initial? I mean, we've already started talking
about it. Oh, yeah, shit. I forgot.
My bad. Initial thoughts.
I'll go. I liked it. I liked it. I do like 90s slasher movies a little bit. So out of the three movies, this one is my favorite. I've watched all three. I love that they shot these all at the same time, which I thought was like cool. Keep the cast around. I thought it was definitely a different play on The Last Girl, since it was like the last two girls, which I thought was cool. I like what they did with the brother, which we'll probably talk about later. In this movie, I did feel emotional because when certain characters died, I was very bothered by it. I was like, this didn't even need to happen. I was just like very annoyed. You didn't have to kill him. But yeah, I thought it was great. I thought the directing was good. I thought the acting was good. I like the mystery behind it all, especially when we get some of the more horror elements and more people show up. But yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, man, I thought this was super fun. A really fun horror film. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't watch these yet. When they came out, there was a lot of people talking about it, and I was like, this is kind of cool. There's all these different Fear Street whatever movies, but I thought it would be like campy, like bad, like you know, just like kind of like not a great movie and campy, and people are just like, oh, this is fun because it's on Netflix. And I was like, man, if this came out in the theaters, I would have seen it. Like, this is a fun horror film. You know, obviously the source material is nice because you got R.L. Stine, the idea that this which is like possessing people in this town periodically that become like these mass murderers, is kind of, is very interesting. And then this, and in this movie, the fact they all, like all these different ones come back is like, you know, that's cool. It's scary. The actors were really, the acting was good. Yeah. I mean, it was just a fun time. I don't know. I don't really have anything bad to say about it. I'm excited to talk about it.
Okay. This was my second time seeing the movie.
Uh-oh.
First time I saw it, acts one and two, fantastic. Act three made me swear off the movie.
Okay, okay, we didn't see it. There's no part. We didn't. We're
no, no, no.
Part.
No,
he's talking about the end.
I'm talking
about
the end of the movie. Just the end of the movie.
Oh, the end of the movie.
I haven't seen the other parts. And I didn't watch the other parts because of that. Watching it this second time, the only potential redeeming thing was like... it's like, no. There's that one moment when, what's the dude's name, the older black dude who was the janitor, is it Darren?
Oh yeah.
When he hands the little kid his card, I was like, oh, maybe there's something that happens in the rest of these movies that will make me feel better about what I just watched in 1994. But I hated it. It made me so Matt, and it's just from a story.
You're talking about you hated it because people die.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
I will admit, I agree with you on that part, James. I was very upset by that.
But the way that they do it, like it's like Kate dies because Kate was Matt. Okay, wait. Kate was the one who was like, she's bait. And everybody's like, is she bait? She's not bait, but. And then Kate dies just because her role was being the bait. I just couldn't. It felt like meaningless deaths started happening, which, in other movies, they try to at least in some other movies, not all, plenty of them are just slasher for the sake of fun, interesting deaths or whatever. But like, this, it just felt like these meaningless deaths, and it just made me mad. Yeah. But that's not to say, like, I think the rendering of the movie is fun. I think it looks cool. I thought the acting was great too.
Meaningless deaths. It's a horror film.
I agree.
Film, James.
No, but I, no, 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 but, no, no, but no, James, I agree. Me and Rachel watched it, and we were like, because at one point they just start dying, and it's like, yo, these aren't even parts where they needed to die.
Yes,
at.
I just have to say, I am acknowledging that this is more a me thing, but you can go back and watch Scream, and every single death has a justification that the killers have for doing them. I've saw Scream four times this year, and every single
Take it back. No, rewind.
Four times in theaters this year. It was stupid. I don't know why I did it.
In theaters?
Every single death except the only completely senseless death that like is just someone gets killed is the cameraman in the van. He just gets killed. And you're like, why? Everyone else has a personal relationship to the murderers.
Why are you comparing this to Scream as if
I'm
that's
just,
the only...
No, I'm just saying that it's not the only one. And this is I understand that this is a personal thing, but I couldn't take the nonsense deaths.
That's because literally, because I think you're right. Literally at the end, it's like they're doing all this for this one girl. And I'm like, yo, you about to sacrifice all your friends
exactly
to save this one girl?
I don't get... No. No,
you sacrifice.
Fuck
you sacrifice. Exactly.
Yeah. I feel the same.
We've been with you this whole time.
It's more about their cockiness, and this is the thing about horror films is that the people die when you're making poor decisions. Now, in the middle of the movie, they almost make the right decision, which is let her go die because. Yeah. We can't stop it. We tried. We gave it our best shot. And these things are coming back. There's nothing we can do. Let her die. But instead, they try to play hero. And when you try to play hero and try to save one person from a freaking witch curse, you gonna get got.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. And but I also, and I just wish that the I just wish that the story would have made would have done something to make me believe that specifically those kids who 1 second ago were like, fuck her, she got to die, all changed their minds.
Because, man, listen, all of them. Listen, the main girl gave the speech.
They got cocky.
She was like, yo, we got it. And it's funny because, I mean, we're skipping ahead, but like, I guess we should talk about it. It's like one of those things, I remember watching it, and Rachel was beside me. I was like, hey, look, man, if something happened and you get possessed, and it's like, we done tried a couple times, I'm like, I don't, like, I'm gonna fight with you. Like, I die with you, but I can't just have niggas out here getting murked. Cause there was literally at one point the other girl is saying, yo, we're going to die trying to protect this girl. And what happens? She dies trying to. The girl don't even get a fucking scratch.
And in the worst way.
Oh my God.
The villain, the murderer puts her, splashes her head into cake. Wait. Then I don't know. Fuck this. This made me so mad. And then
James is so mad.
Meat slices her head into pieces. It's the most offensive thing I've ever seen.
It was
the most
shocking.
Offensive thing
it was.
I've ever seen.
I didn't think it was gonna get her. Red wedding was more offensive,
but that was
what
close.
Happened. What
I said, the red wedding was more offensive for me, but that was
right. I didn't see. I haven't seen any of. I've seen two episodes of Game of Thrones 4 times.
What was in?
I've seen two episodes multiple times.
Why?
The same
Why?
Two. It's weird. It's like when people are watching, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'll watch it. And it just happens to be the same.
Out of seven seasons, you land on the same episode?
I've seen the one where the dragons are in the basement when she's like, hey, I got these dragons. And it's like, and everybody's like, oh shit, we haven't seen the dragons all, whatever the fuck. Like that episode, I've seen that one.
Listen to you explain Game of Thrones. One, I've only seen it when James Carr was staying at my house. So like, I've only seen the final season. So I have no clue what you're referencing, but it sounds so funny because it sounds exactly like Game of Thrones.
The
dragon's back.
There's no dragons in the first season, just so you know.
Right, yeah. That's what it is, right? And so then when they show up, you're like, oh, snap.
Oh, shit, dragons in this universe.
Yeah, there are no, and then like the second season, they're like babies the entire time.
Oh, that's
so
hard.
They're nothing.
I love to see a little baby dragon.
It's not until it keeps getting more than the dragons become a bigger part of the story.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice, or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order, and they ship samples to you fast and free.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation. Plus, they're 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 40% on selected products. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Introducing the latest grilling hall of flavor inductees. Meet summer's favorite hot dog and the classic cheeseburger. One is juicy with Oscar Mayer beef and finished with unmistakable Heinz ketchup and mustard flavor. The other is melty with Kraft Singles ooey gooey goodness you'll want to savor. And they both would like to thank Heinz, Kraft Singles, and Oscar Mayer for getting them ready for summer flavor lovers like you. Visit grillinghalloflavor.com to make your cookout stand out from the crowd.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's go through Fear Street Part 1, 1994.
Scream.
I'm glad the 1994 stuff wasn't like heavy-handed. It didn't feel it was there, but they weren't like 90s. They weren't like throwing it in your face. There wasn't a lot of like terminology being used all the time. Every now and then, you know, but like it felt
especially
because
you can smell it when they don't know. Like when they do something, when it's like too much terminology where they're like, this is generally 90s. And you're like, well, that was actually 2002. You know, like,
I mean, I think the only thing that felt super 90s about it to me was that they didn't have cell phones. And at one point she brings out a yellow Walkman. But other than that, I'm like, I guess they hung out in the mall, but it wasn't, I liked it because it wasn't, the slang felt honestly like now. They didn't put like a bunch of 90s terminology in it. The clothes, which is so weird. Because I realized, like, if you go to Urban Outfitters, the clothes they sell is just 90s clothes. So, like, the clothes kind of is the same as what we wear now. So, I dug it.
Yeah.
It starts, like we said, with this opener of a girl in a mall.
And it starts quick, too, right? Like, it starts really, it's like, she's there at the front desk, and we're already talking about, like, horror, or what, like, someone's renting a horror buying a horror book or something
book for her
book,
daughter.
And then immediately, like, I feel like the lights just go out, like, or whatever.
Well, she's closing the mall, and then she like hears something and she's like getting a little scared. There's
have you ever worked in a mall?
I've worked in a mall.
I've never had to like be the last person there.
I worked at a clothing store. One of my best friends, his sister had a boyfriend who was like a fashion designer, and he rented like a small store in the mall, and he hired us. And we used to have to open and close the mall. And at night, the mall would get so dark. And like, you know, like most malls, we had the skylight, but ours only were, how do I explain it? Our skylight wasn't in the center of the mall. It was only like where the walking or the steps were.
Right.
So it wasn't too bright, but it was like little patches. And if a bird or a bat or whatever the hell flew by, you would just see a fucking big shadow. And like in the mall, like because a lot of young people worked there, people would leave early. But my dumb ass was like, nah, man, we got to be here till 10. We getting paid till 10. Me and my boy locked up one day, and there was a woman who, you know, we ended up helping, but we didn't know. She was older and she kind of got lost in the mall. So she was wandering around the mall and she was like an older woman. So all you heard was like her ring, like grinding across the rails, but you didn't know where the fuck she was. And I was like, yo, do you hear this, man? I was like, do you hear this? He's like, nah, man, stop playing. I was like, bro, I swear to you, I hear a thing. And it was a ring. And you just saw like a figure kind of pass through that little whip of light, but you still couldn't see her body. And my boy is like, hey, man, stop coming near us. And it was like an older lady, and she never waved. She never made a sound. She just got like really close to us. Can you help? And I was like, yo, honestly, I still think you may try to kill us. So I'm not going to get too close to you. Like, I'm going to help you from a distance. That way out is over here. Yeah, I don't play with that mall stuff, man. It's scary. It's big. It's so big.
It is big. Yeah, her friend is there, but then he's not there, and she sees blood, and there's a guy chasing her. He's got a Halloween, one of those skeleton Halloween masks. Yeah, this was like a fun, I mean, this was obviously a you know, reference to Scream, but it was good. It was, you know, she put up a fight and then still winds up
just
dying.
Like in Scream.
Just like in Scream. It's also crazy when she runs out and there's just another dead person. Like, there's one person out there and they're dead.
Mm-hmm. I like that because it made me go like, yeah, why is she the only person here? And then you're like, oh no, like,
he killed some seven other people. Yeah, he killed seven people. Also, it's crazy because I don't know why. I think it's a 90s thing. I love that 90s kind of reinvigorated the running killer. Like, cause you know, Halloween is like that. Like, he just be walking all slow. It's like, nah, bruh. Like in this in particular, the thing I loved about Scream 2 is like, he's just hauling ass chasing. Like, at one point he's coming around yeah, one of the tables. Are. He's coming around the table in the Foucault and he slips cause he's running so fast. And I love that too, because that's a very like human thing. It's like, it's just a regular dude just trying to chase motherfuckers down. Loved it. Loved it, loved it. Yeah, but they didn't have to kill her like that, man. That was sad. That was, come on,
yeah,
man.
That was sad.
She that was a Stranger oof. Things girl. She worked in the mall, man.
They killed the Stranger Things girl like that?
Yeah, and on Stranger Things, she works in the mall, too. I was like, bro, this is too close to character. This is too close. This is too close. She should have been working at the ice cream shop. Stop this.
And the killer gets shot in the beginning, which is, you're like, whoa, you know. You're like, oh, okay. I thought he's not going to be the killer for the movie, cool. Or it's going to be somebody else, a copycat.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Yeah, that was cool.
And you guys haven't seen all three, right? So you guys
know
how.
No, okay, I'm gonna ask you mad questions though.
Okay.
No, don't say anything about the other two movies.
What?
What? What do you mean? What?
First we can't talk about the other movie.
Right. This no, is big. This is part one. This movie exists in the part one space.
But Gerard has answers.
Braylock,
it doesn't matter. The only thing that makes has to be able to stand alone.
The only thing that makes me laugh right, is Bray talking right, about fine, this movie right. Like it came out this weekend. The movie been out for like 5 months.
Okay, all I'm of just them. Saying all this is part one, and I haven't right, seen right. the other two.
Okay. Oh, and you're probably gonna watch them. You don't want to spoil.
I'm definitely gonna watch them. Okay, this is awesome.
Right. You should watch them. They're fun.
All right. Then I'm off mic. I'm asking.
Off mic. Asking.
I was actually mad at how much freaking trailer they showed for part two. I was like, damn, don't show me all the goddamn deaths. Yeah,
I know. At the end, they were just like, hey,
they're
here's
like,
what's
and here's the
happen.
Whole part two. Here's every death in part two. I was like, oh, why are you doing this? Why do horror movies do this? And I didn't talk about it too much when we reviewed Candyman, but for real. I think that movie was less scary because I saw all the deaths in the trailer.
I agree. They showed all of them in the trailer.
I didn't watch. I only saw the first trailer and then didn't look at another trailer again. So it wasn't super fresh in my mind. But that's why I didn't watch.
It's not as bad. Just so y'all know, it's not as bad as Candyman was. Like, it's, you'll be fine watching the second one because it's more.
I mean, it seems like it's a huge massacre because it's probably like pretty much everybody in that game.
Yeah. So it's like you haven't missed anything. Anyway, back to this. I loved it when we first start off. It's like, oh my God, yeah, I guess this is very 90s. I didn't have a computer.
He's on AIM. He's on AIM.
So I didn't know about the chat rooms and stuff. Like, was that stuff out in 94?
94, bro.
That's early, right? Like,
that's
very
early.
Is that early for AIM, though? I'm trying to, I would think like 96, right? Like 96, 97.
I mean, I don't know. Like,
I didn't have AIM until fifth grade, and that was 98, but that's just me, but I'm just saying it just seemed it was like I'm not saying AIM wasn't out by then, it just was like he was like had to be one of the first people really on it.
No, yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that. AIM was popular in the late 90s according to
that's what
it was not out yet. AIM was not even out yet.
Well, he was on a message board.
AIM was out in 97, but let's see. What about AOL?
I think he just had a message. Because the thing is, I just knew I didn't have a computer until, I didn't have a computer until like 03, 04. Yeah. So I was like, shit, he already, I know.
But it was the colors. It was all the same colors of AOL. Yeah. So AOL.
People weren't really chatting like that. But
not
it was
like
still,
that. Not like
I
that.
Still appreciated it because it was 90s, you know?
Yeah.
But what when he was chatting online, I was like, that is early.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved like, because again, this movie always needs the one person who knows the history of the thing. And I really did like that. We got to see like the black kid open this drain up. Like he's our, okay. Braylock, you have to stop me. Cause the thing is, I know each one of these movies pays homage to another movie. And I keep wanting to be like, this guy
he's the Randy.
Is. Yes. And that's like, he's not
I know what
Randy.
You gonna say.
He's not Randy. He's his
it's
own
the
thing.
Randy.
But he's.
They were like, when they were writing this, they were like, all right, cool. We're going to have a little black Randy.
that's who he is. He's like the kid who knows all the stuff. I love that. And then his sister, Sydney. Oh, my God. I got to stop this. oh, my God. Also, it's the parents, you hear about the dad and everyone kind of makes jokes about the dad and like how absentee he is and shit like that throughout the movie. And oh, my God. Yeah, like a screen where the mom was.
If they, you know. For real, if they wouldn't have literally done the Scream opening, if that wouldn't have ended literally exactly like Scream, I don't think we would be comparing it this much.
But I don't think it's a bad comparison. I don't. It's just easier
no, right,
to explain.
Yeah.
And like,
but
I love,
but they literally put like a notable person in the first yeah. scene, a notable blonde girl in the first scene. And then she dies the exact same way that yeah. Drew Barrymore does.
I think the first scene was, this movie wasn't like, this movie was definitely different enough from Scream that I wasn't like, oh, this is just Scream.
Absolutely.
No, it definitely was.
I don't think this movie is Scream at all, but we're just yeah. in the early setup, like making these other comparisons. Because it's at this point in the movie, the last thing we were thinking about was Scream. And then now we're meeting all these characters. We're like, oh, okay, all right.
Because they set up everybody. Because at one point watching it, I was like, oh, snap. Her friend, the male friend, what's this character's name? Who's like in the girl's bathroom and like kind of just hanging out. I was like, oh, is he
yeah,
be?
White Lotus kid.
Yeah, is that like, Matthew Lillard? Is he the murderer?
Yes. I was like, is this Zach? Is this Zach?
Oh.
Because he was like too friendly. And again, like early on, once we see all the friends, you realize like, which I thought was different from Scream, was that everybody in the town was kind of excited by the legend. So it was like,
yeah,
like he was excited. The girlfriend, best friend was excited by it. The little brother was kind of into it in a different way. The school was like, yeah, the witch is back. So I was like, this is kind of a cool take on this slasher where it's like, it's a supernatural kind of vibe.
Yeah. I also like the, we didn't talk about this, no. but the opening sequence when they just sort of explained the title sequence when they like explained
oh, yes.
like this is what's going on and these are the differences of the towns and like there've been all these murders and like this town is wealthy and this town is poor. I liked all of that. That like gave us a sense of what was, you know, everything that
right,
was going
with the
on.
Articles too.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't fully get it at the time, but I was like, oh, interesting. And then like the more they explained, like at the vigil. Or like, you know, they were explaining it throughout the whole thing. I was like, oh, okay. Oh, and with the kid, obviously, on AIM, he was very much explaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, no, it's the witch. That's who it is.
the witch.
We didn't find out who he's talking to in this movie. I thought we were. I thought it was going to be that girl that was his sister's friend. I thought it was her.
Oh, no. Oh. It's killing me.
You know
no,
who
y'all
it is.
Don't know the secrets.
Don't tell me.
I'm not.
That's who
I'm
I
not.
Thought it, that's who I thought it was because then they were like.
You're killing me. Because
don't say.
Bray, no,
Gerard,
I'm not. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say anything. But I think, Bray, this is one of those things where like I wish. I feel like you've talked about it. I wish more movies. And I'm thinking of Marvel movies in particular that did this, which is like. I think this movie is a really good standalone movie. And when you watch the second and third one, you can look back to like a random conversation and go, that's what the, like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, when you watch a Marvel movie, it's like, all right, they're not going to explain this in any way, but hype up that we got to explain it. And then in two movies, they're going to explain it. Whereas in this one, it's like little breadcrumbs that like don't take away from the movie, but like, oh, you thought about this ahead of time. Anyway.
Yeah.
But Bray, we're gonna talk. You gotta watch him. We're gonna talk.
Great. Yeah, it's the very next scene after this Is it the vigil next, or is it or are they in school before?
In school. Well, we did the school. We do the school. We see them the bathroom scene.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
We realize she has a breakup. She's talking about Sam, and she's like, and they're like, oh, you're not over Sam, and then I'm not going to band. And then we have like a scene where they're like, everybody has to go to you have to go to band. It's mandatory, which I didn't quite even understand. I didn't get that at all. But then they go and they have this vigil at the football game that I guess nobody else is at.
Well, you realize there's no audience. It's just like the
is it
teams.
COVID times or what's
no? It's just them. But then you realize like the death happened to a Shadysider, and I guess it's like two towns. So
right, Shadyside and Sunnyside.
Sunnyside and like the Sunnyside people just don't be giving a fuck.
Yeah.
Right, but were there Shadyside adults there? That's the question,
oh,
right?
Oh, good point.
It seemed like it was just
like
the
it
teams.
Was just the kids.
Yeah.
Because it was so like it was they weird. Had to pay their respects. Was she in the band or on a cheerleading team?
She is in the band.
Oh, the girl was in the band who died.
But was Maya in the band?
That's what I mean. Was Maya the girl who died? Was
no, she
in
was
the band?
A cheerleader on Sunnyside.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah,
gotcha.
But they did. Hey, I will admit they got me with that. They got me with that switch because they kept saying Sam and they were showing that
same.
Little, that
same.
They were showing that boy, and the whole time I was thinking it was a dude, and then she was like Sam, and it's the girl, and I was like, oh, they got me.
It's funny. I knew it was the girl the moment they showed both, and it sucks because I was like the way the lead actress was playing her character. I was like, oh man. Usually. They make that lead, the last girl ever, a little bit more feminine, but she was so tough. I'm like, man, are they trying to say this girl's a lesbian or something? And sure enough, when it came, Sam was a girl, I was like, oh shit, she is. I was like, honestly, this is great. Also, I looked up both of them and their headshots on IMDb are so much cooler than what I think headshots were supposed to look like.
They have like portraits. Like they took like somebody fancy took pictures of them.
Yeah, it's like Vogue type shit. Like who plays Sam and the little brother Josh. Like this is like Vogue headshot. So like, God damn, let me go redo my shit. Anyway, I did like this interaction. Like I don't know.
Yeah,
this was
cool.
Lively.
The drama of this was fun. Like, and then you know, and everybody on the football field is like starting. They're fighting on the football field too.
Yeah.
And then you know, and then they get on the butt. Like,
this movie
Sunnyside moves
people
so
are
fast.
Horrible.
Yeah, Sunnyside are horrible.
They're
people.
They're not good at all. Like,
they're horrible
gross
people.
They suck.
They're like it's like the good and bad town. I was like, man, screw them. It's so funny, man, because the way they set this up, like, yeah, Bray's right. They set it up like it was a dude. But then also they kind of, for me, once I realized Sam was a girl and when they kind of have the confrontation, when Dina's like, at least I know who I am. I'm not lying. I was like, oh, shit. Did Sam like break up with her? Because she,
straight up bi erasure.
And I was like, oh, like, is that what's going on? But then when Sam was like, no, I wanted to stay together. I just moved to a new school. You did this. I was like, oh, shit. So you was out here blaming everything on Sam? But you the ain't shit one? I'm like, Sam, you tell her, Sam. Like, you fucking tell her.
Yeah, it wasn't as clean. Yeah. I mean, we found out even more later that she was like, I was kind of going away from you. And it was like, basically, Sam was definitely nervous about having an open gay relationship.
Her mom,
right.
Yeah, her
right.
mom
didn't like approve of it.
Which is what makes the ending, you know, or right before the ending, a powerful moment.
Right. Let's skip ahead a little bit because we have, some of these guys follow them in the bus. Also, this bus has no chaperones, none at all, in a way that I'm like, this
is a
high
kid
school.
Driving the bus? Like,
I know. I was like, is there even an adult? Yeah. Later on, they mentioned, like, the bus driver said that you did this. And I was like, okay, so at least the bus driver was
there.
He was watching because he certainly didn't say anything. These kids were like, we gotta kill everybody.
They could, you know, the bus driver was like, listen, these kids crazy. I can't be doing this.
They had no coach. Also, I used to be in the band and on a track team. And I've never, first off, been in a school bus big enough that the football team, the cheerleaders, and the band with their equipment all could fit on the same bus comfortably. like just we all just together riding. I was like, all right.
No, they're underfunded. This is Shady Side. They ain't got no money. They got a smaller band. Wait, they have a smaller.
So that means if I go play the trumpet, I gotta put my trumpet down. Go play fucking quarterback. Then I also gotta run and hoist up the cheerleader at the same time.
That's probably how they was doing it.
They got a universal uniform. It's like, hey, the cop is all sports.
Yeah, I'm still on board at this part of the movie. I like that she's like about to throw the thing, then suddenly her nose starts bleeding, and it knocks the car off the road. All this stuff was fun. She, you know, when they get down to her and she, Sam's nose is bleeding and she touches the dirt and then she gets, you know, something happens, you know.
That's how she gets possessed. She sees the witch. She sees the witch.
Flash she sees the witch. And it was weird because it was like Sam's nose and Dina's nose. They both bleed at the same time, but they never really bring that up again. And I'm sure they never will.
On this rewatch,
I don't get it either.
Did Sam's nose bleed in the car or did her nose not bleed until she hit? Because if anything, Dina's nose just starts bleeding.
Just starts bleeding.
Yeah, and it's like a weird...
And I wasn't sure if it was because she was raging in a similar way than with the witch. And so like... She was getting connected.
I did read that they did a lot of stuff in one of the movies before kind of really figuring out how the witch and certain things were going to play until I think Guillermo del Toro helped like in the edit of like, you should do this, and this. So I think Braylock's exactly right. I think it's like, this might have been something they planned and then realized this makes no sense. And they just never addressed it.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a break kind of this bitch. I was like, yeah, I don't think it comes up ever again.
Got it. It definitely was interesting because I was like, it felt like I thought that Sam was gonna get possessed. I mean, obviously at the end she does, but I thought she was gonna be possessed throughout the movie because that's what it seemed like. She was like touched the witch.
And, yeah, that's what I thought too.
Because this whole accident happens and they all lie to the cops. They don't want to tell them what really went on. And then by that time we get back to the house and, you know, there's also the boyfriend says like, I'm going to kill you. Like, I'm going to kill you.
He's the scary boyfriend.
So many freaking murder threats. Like, and I love how they're all like, he's just saying that. I was like, I don't know what high school people went to, but there were, I mean, if somebody just openly threatened to kill me, I would not take that lightly.
Yeah, no,
Yeah,
already in a fist fight and they're like, I'm going to kill you, I wouldn't take that like they're going to try to kill me. But if somebody embraces me and whispers in my ear, I'm going to kill you. Like, what?
It's like, hey, what? Hold on a second.
What did you just say? Bro, no. Do you know how many freaking school shootings there are? I am not doing this.
Well, this is
not about to whisper, I'm going to kill you.
Well, this is like 4 years before they, you know, picked up
that's true.
In intake.
That is true.
You know, 4 years
that's,
before.
Yeah.
Which is crazy that's now a thing that
but
we
But also
live
we've
with.
Established that there's so much crime in Shady. Now I'm forgetting the name.
Shady Side.
It's just like, you know, these murder threats cannot be empty, right? Like they can't possibly be empty threats in a town where they're like, this is the highest murder town of the, like,
yeah. I agree. I mean, it's funny, but yeah, so we get that. Just to skip ahead a little bit, it's like, you know, we're at the house, we see like the ghost fade dude appear. He appears at both Dina's house and her drug dealing best friend's house, which makes me laugh because she's so small. Kate.
Yeah.
She's dealing a lot of drugs.
She's dealing a bunch of
getting
drugs.
Getting her kid, the kids that she babysits to help freaking run her drug ring.
My thing is, there was a line that does play off in this movie early on. And she's like, didn't his brother OD? I mean, that wasn't like a real OD. They just zapped
him
back to life.
They
just backed him back to life.
Yo, and they were so casual about everything.
I was like, yo, that's so crazy. But anyway, so when that happens, and then we finally get to... Wait, no, does he try to kill Dina at her house, right? Is he trying to break in the house? Wait.
I thought he was certainly there, right? And that scares them enough to like get the kids out of the house, and
because it happened at both houses, right?
Yeah, but I don't think he attacks there. I don't think there's an attack until the hospital.
The hospital.
He
broke.
He doesn't come into Dina. You said
Dina's the main girl.
He doesn't come into Dina's house. He just is like very close, and then he does go into the
Kate's house. Yes.
Kate's house. He breaks the window, but he like stabbed the shirt.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
And then we get to the hospital. Like,
what the hell? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get to the hospital, and he just...
Yo, this hospital scene.
By the theory of what happens, I was confused by looking back at it. If Sam's blood is the thing that the killers are chasing, did the boyfriend have blood on him that I just didn't see?
That's a great question that I don't think... Yeah, because it's like the boyfriend gets killed, the nurse gets killed, the two nurses get killed.
Yeah.
That one, all those, the eight people get killed at the beginning, and that has nothing to do with Sam's blood. So, like, what even is that about?
Well,
like,
the people who got killed in the beginning from the killer before he got shot was just...
He was just insane at that point.
He was just a witch possessed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Murder spree. And then I think that the hospital nurse, I think the other, some of these people get killed just incidentally, like they're in the way, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Or they try to stop him maybe. Like the nurse was like, "Where are you going?" And then he just kills her, you know?
Yeah. And, because the rest of the time, if you don't engage, you're not going to get a slash. You're not going to get an anything.
Right.
You're,
if you get out the way, you're fine.
Yeah.
But if you get in their way, they will kill you.
Yeah. And we see the one nurse definitely get in the way and get stabbed.
He's like, hey, what are you doing? Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That makes sense. I do love, because at this point, I thought that the killer was the boyfriend, or like maybe he had a part of it. And so
I thought it was Sam.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you thought Sam was the killer?
I thought it was Sam, but then once the boyfriend gets killed in front of them, I was like, well, obviously it's not Sam. Sam's right there.
It's so funny. I definitely jumped from the boyfriend to that friend. I still thought it was him at this point, too. I was like, okay, maybe they're doing a scream and it's like two of them. But yeah, when they started running, what's so funny about this is when they go to the police, and she's like, y'all said y'all was going to help us, and the police do absolutely nothing for them.
Yo, seriously, those police
did nothing.
Yo, they didn't care.
They were terrible.
But it's one of those things where it's like,
also, how are we gonna find out that the sheriff knows about this thing? But when she first tells him, he's like joking. Like, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know this is a thing, and you were just, why would she be making this up?
I don't think there's not a single movie that does that right. Right? Like every movie does, like the person that knows first is like, what? And then they're like, actually, I know. Right? Like,
I've been keeping this secret. Why?
Like most movies do that. It's so annoying.
It's so annoying, dude.
Like, why keep this secret?
I'm like, also, why are you staying still in this town, bro?
Yeah.
Get the hell out.
Yeah.
Freaking murder town. This is a murder town.
And you're the sheriff of murder town? I did love this dude. The friend was so funny because I was watching, and then like when the other ghost, I guess, or killer shows up, the girl, and it's like some like really pretty girl like crying, and then she just like cuts him. I remember at one point I was like, oh man, that's fucked up. They got this pretty ass girl just murking niggas. I was like, I ain't never seen that. But I definitely would be like this dude. I would be so conflicted.
he couldn't get over it.
Yeah. I'd be so conflicted. Like,
he kept saying, she's so hot. She's so crazy.
She's hot, but she's crazy. Because when you see her, it's so funny because how they set this person up, it is literally, I don't think I've ever seen it in a horror movie. They give her the same shots you would give like a normal killer, which is like, when you think about it, They pan up the killer and kind of show you the size. Like a lot of times it's like the killer is like a big dude. But in this case, it's a very beautiful woman. So you see her outfit and it's like, it's the same shot. It's now a pretty girl just like slowly singing, trying to just kill all y'all.
Listen, I don't know. I know I just said I don't like senseless deaths. And I don't know if it's because I know that this character dies now. But I think had she killed him there with that song playing in the back, because they're like, where's Simon? And then they cut to him and the song's playing. She's like throwing him around the street. I don't know. If she would have killed him there, that would have been pretty cool. I think I would have been okay with that.
He would have needed a dialogue to go with it. Like, ah, this hurts so much. Do you want to get coffee? Don't stab me again. I mean, you probably could cut a cake really, really well. And they just shot her. And it was crazy because, again, this movie, I think, is really smart because they do play off that thing of like, sometimes I'm with Mike Myers and Jason. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Like, are they human? Are they like, what the hell?
Yeah.
A lot of times I think they're trying to make it make sense. But even now, those movies really don't make sense to me. So to me, this movie did a better job quicker of like, yo, we're murking these bad guys, but these bad guys are already dead. And we know they're dead and like they're going to keep coming back.
Right. Because we know that at this point, we also know that the ski mask or the skull mask is just that dude that got shot in the head.
That dude who was dead.
So we know
that it's people coming back from the dead.
I don't think we've seen who I call Jason, the dude with the bag and the axe. That dude is scary because I'm going to tell you the scariest thing about Son Shit to me is like when it's a big dude or a big creature hauling ass after you, I'm like, yo, I like.
It's over. Scary. There's nothing. What can you do? Nothing you can do.
Because it's like he just big, at least with the scream, the little dude with the mask, you're like, all right, I can try to fight back and help. But like this dude, literally at one point, there's a shot of him just walking and then you just see him just pick up the axe and just start running. I don't need that. I don't need this nigga just fucking chasing me down the street. No, man. No. You hit that dude with a car, you know he getting up. You know he getting up. Fuck that.
So they figure out about the blood through the brother, right? Like, how do they figure out that it was...
Did they call somebody yet or no?
So, no, they haven't called anybody yet. So like, first the brother realizes that the hot woman is, oh, she must be the witch because she had a shaver and she was singing the song. So he figures that out. Then I feel like
all the other ones.
Yes.
All the other ones.
And I don't remember exact which came first, but I remember Simon being like, they were after my shirt, like the blood on my, my shirt.
At the house. Yep.
Yeah. So, but I can't remember who makes the, it's probably, it's
well,
got
somebody
the,
was like, the brother. Did you touch the great, like they figured out.
It was the brother. I think the brother was like, cause she was like, her hand of blood went into the grave. And then that's when Dina looks at her shoes.
Right. Cause which Sam says, I saw her. Yeah. Sam is like, when he's talking about this thing, he's like, they're like, why is she coming after us? And then Sam was like, well, I saw her, you know?
Yeah.
And then they were like, so she's coming after you. And then they were like, the blood. Then that's when they figured out.
It was on the shoes, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Wait, how did they get... This is one that I don't remember. How did they get enough blood to spatter around the school? Like, what? Like, how did they...
I think they just straight up cut her. Like, don't they...
But that's a lot of blood, though. They had enough blood to, like, mop
it. There was too much
blood. It was like they mopped it. It was like...
Maybe they dilute it. Maybe it's, you know, blood with some water. You know what I mean? Like, they
had three bathroom stalls.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I was like, wait a minute. That was too much blood. How did they get that much blood?
Did they kill this girl? Also, this plan was awesome. I was like,
yeah, this was really
cool. This was
a
good damn plan. And this is how...
Damn, Gerard, I literally didn't even think about... I didn't think about that until you just brought it up. And now I'm like, you're right. That makes no sense.
Yeah, it was
they
so much blood.
They must have diluted it, right? Dude, like, it must be like
no
blood.
Way. At one point, the black kid is putting a big X on like...
Yeah,
the
they're like mopping it.
The
like,
ones, it's like, there's a lot
of
blood.
But they cleaned off... They cleaned off themselves, right? So they used that... You know, like they used...
Also, everyone has sexy time, which I was like... Okay.
I appreciate this.
I was like,
you appreciated this guy getting so I guess he was a freshman in high school and she's probably like, what, a senior?
Yeah, I think so.
I appreciate it when I first saw it. It felt weird the second time.
It didn't
but
feel
when I first
weird.
Saw it, I was like,
it did.
The first time it like, felt weird for me and I was like trying to be like, okay, I guess it's like they're only like 3 years apart. But the way that I was like, nah, this is weird.
I think to me it was one of those things, it was like, yo, they probably about to die no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, this dude has had a crush on her. Everybody, the fact that the other boy just was by himself.
And yeah, he was like, listen.
He's like, I'm just about to vibe out by myself. I was like,
if I'm about to die.
He literally was just checking himself out in the mirror. And then he's like, all right.
And you know what, brother? You look good.
He got off on himself.
Yeah.
It was funny, though. That was bizarre.
I was happy Sam and Dina. I was like, look at this. I like, yo, man, we had interracial love. We had self-love. We had lesbian love.
I guess it's because I'm older, but like, I was like, oh, they really look like they're in high school. I'm not comfortable.
It's true, right? I think it is like being us being older and looking at it and having any inkling of like, oh, that's weird. Because younger kids and high school kids would all be like, yeah.
Could you imagine being an adult now? I think about the conversations me and my friends were having and stuff like at 13, 14. And now that I have like younger cousins, I'm like, no.
They're going to do it.
It's crazy because I'm like, you're the age I was when I was talking. Like, I'm just.
Yeah. I would, if I'm in this situation, that's exactly how it would have gone down.
Honestly, yeah, same.
I got a moment of quiet and I think I know how to hide from this. If I know how to hide from this, I've got no blood. All right, cool. Let's do something.
Dina was risking it. This is my thing. Dina was risking it. I like,
because she knew she was supposed to have no blood on her. And she was like, I'm gonna make out with this bleeding woman who I love.
You're changing fluids. I'm like, listen, Dina. You suicidal, Dina.
You might roll the wrong way and get an axe right now.
Not me.
But yeah, this plan where they like lure this in and then they blow them up.
It was
like,
great.
That was so cool.
It was great. The thing is, they did this. Yo, they did the thing. They were waiting outside with the fire extinguishers to go in and double tap everybody. They were like, hey, let's make sure they dead. Make sure they dead. Little did they know these bodies can like T-1000 come back together.
Was amazing.
I had no idea that was happening. I was like, oh shit.
He was just wait a minute. He's like looking at this thing and then all of a sudden a hand pops out and they're like, ah! They're like, all right, we can't kill
these things.
Yes.
We can't. And that's
it. Yes. I'm saying they're like, we gotta kill. Sam gotta die. I'm like, yes.
But no, but even this
100%.
But even every time, I will say the thing I liked about this is that in this movie, everybody was on board immediately. It didn't take like, I got to convince people and then a friend gets murked. It was like, hey, no, this shit has happened. Everybody was on board. And also they had plans intact to like try to do something about it. So like even, I forgot who suggested it, but playing back the overdose thing, them trying to literally kill Sam and bring her back. I was like, this is a good fucking plan.
Yeah, this was the adult in me. So essentially from this part of the movie on, I'm like, fuck this, right? the adult in me was like, so the move is these little kids about to overdose. They about to make this little girl overdose.
If not, she was gonna die anyway, James.
I know, but it was like, it was me thinking about the implications of a kid watching this and like the drug dealer. Like there were too many things happening that my senses was like, I don't want the youth exposed to this. I don't want the youth exposed to that was one. Then of course I've already talked about this. I hate the way Kate dies. That's so frustrating. Because here's the thing, right? Like while it's going on, they're trying to do the overdose. And the overdose ain't working. She throwing it up. She like, you know, like it's not happening. Right?
It's a hard thing to try to kill to have your heart. Even when they were explaining it, you're like, this is a longer death. But they the reason they did it was just because like the experience. So they knew like, oh, this is how it's going to happen. But
right. Yeah.
But when she was like, oh, let me drown. I was like, yeah, that's such a easier, quicker death, like just drown somebody and then, you know, CPR
and then resuscitate him. Yeah. Yeah. And then, and all of this stuff too, like the pep talk that Simon gives the brother, whose character name we have been saying, Josh.
Josh. Yeah. Yes.
The
yes,
pep
yes.
talk that Simon gives Josh is like, I think is genuinely good. Like, she sees this in you, but you need to see it in yourself. Like, yeah. I think that's a genuinely good pep talk to have at this point in the movie, you know, so that like this character is, it's not about his relationships. It's about how he feels about himself, you know? I liked all of that, but I just couldn't.
Dog, it makes sense. I was mad.
My heart couldn't take, and we just see it. They make us watch this. For the rewatch, I didn't watch. I turned a little black boy.
Well, they make you watch because it's like, you really don't know if she's going to, because you're like kind of expecting her not to die. Like at this point,
she gets them with the pan. She like kicks them. She knocks them. Like she's like getting
and you
away.
Think somebody, you think something's going to, somebody's going to come save her. Yeah, and then she just.
Or homegirl's going to actually drown before, because I think at this time they've
that's
already
what
started
I, that's
doing
what I
that.
Think I thought was going to happen. And then no. I was like, oh my God.
I know. And then she drowns right after.
Listen.
Drowns right after that.
That's horror film, baby. It was like.
Right before she fully drowns, Simon gets the axe in the head.
Oh, yes.
Which I was like, damn.
And they cut the black.
They got Simon?
And they cut the black boy too at that point, right? Don't they cut him?
Yeah.
Well, once she died, I was like, there's no way Simon's living.
Oh really?
Yeah, because I was like, uh-oh. Now that she died, all bets are off.
Yeah.
And that Simon and Simon they was, like looked at her and that Simon death was like, "Oh no."
Yeah.
It was definitely It was like remember Samuel Jackson and
Deep Blue Sea? Yeah. Deep Blue Sea?
Yeah. Deep Blue Sea. Yeah, yeah.
It was one of those like, "Oh my god."
Absolutely.
Dude, that was the tough. Yeah. That movie was absolutely. That part was tough. And then wait, so how do they, what happens after this? It's like.
So when she drowns, that they're gone and then they bring her back and then the
wait,
cops
doesn't
come.
She start like, yep. and doesn't then, she start like freaking out again? Like, does she like, cause mm-hmm. like the black boy doesn't die, right? The brother.
No. So like when she dies, the black boy has to go get the defibrillator or whatever it is that they use to bring her back. I actually can't. I literally I watched this 3 seconds ago and I can't remember exactly what those beats are. But this was the other thing that made me mad though. The next scene that, you know, they choose to lie in order to like fully cover their tracks. They know.
Well, of course they lied.
The cops will pin. I know, but you got to try to come up with something to protect the people that are like the fact that I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is.
How do you expect them to
come up with it? I'm telling you something that may.
You don't know what it is, and you're sitting at home thinking about this. They just saw the death of their friends. They've been chased around by freaking ghosts.
I couldn't believe even if the movie didn't have to call attention to this. The movie chose to. Where, you know, the papers is going to pin it on your druggy friends. That's the thing. It's not so much that like they should have come up with a better thing. It's the fact that the movie chooses to say, you know, we're going to just pin it on.
Well, they had to say that. Otherwise, it would have been like they're going to get blamed for these deaths.
Right. And so that they can go home. Right. I couldn't deal with the fact that like the people who died as a sacrifice are the people that are going to be pinned with the murder. I just couldn't believe it.
It made me so mad.
I was like, damn. Those were your whole. Literally, I've been mad at Dina the whole time.
James, this is not a happy movie. Okay?
No, it's not. It's not.
Horror
it's
films not. Are not supposed to have happy endings.
It's not. They're
they
not. No.
Very.
Yes. Most of them have very deeply tragic endings.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can't leave feeling okay.
Yeah, I was like, this only made it, the only thing that made it worse was just the fact that they didn't want to do it. Like they're like, yo, man, like she just gotta go. And like the fact that they die and also everybody thinks they're the murderers. I'm like, that sucks. I think that's pretty much it in this, right? Oh, was there?
And then there's the fake out. She's possessed and she they tie her up, and the woman on the phone is like, "Hey, it's not over."
That was specific.
She says, like, they do. Well, no, they don't show her. She just says, like, it's never over.
But you don't know. It's hard for me because I don't want to say the end because I'm getting confused on which movie is which now. So I don't know. So I don't want to say anything.
So, yeah, no. Yeah. She gets possessed. She almost kills. Oh, yeah. She stabs her. Yeah. She is able to tie this person up, but she's still possessed. And then that woman calls back and she's like, and they're like, "Thanks, but no thanks. Like, we already figured it out." And she was like, "No, you didn't. It's never over." Oh, and I guess it was just a preview for the next movie. Cause then they just cut over to like 1978 and they show.
I think y'all should finish it. That's all I'm gonna say.
Gerard, do you think I should finish it?
I think you should, because I personally felt, me and Rachel felt the exact, I was upset. But I do think the way
you just think it's worth watching. Yeah. Okay, all right. The fact that that's a thing. You don't gotta say anything. You know, I don't want to give anything away.
And they thought about it ahead of time. Everything is thought about ahead of time. They were making three movies. So I'm like, you know, Hollywood, just do more stuff like this. You know what I'm saying? Take risks. You know, we got, you know, two black leads in this joint. You know, we got a LGBTQ plus story in this joint. It's like this, it was literally, I was like, this was very fun. It was very shocking. And it was like really nice that, honestly, it was a black girl as the last girl in a slasher. I personally cannot think of one. I'm thinking of Candyman, which is very black centric. But when I'm thinking of just like an everyday horror movie or something like that, it's like
AVP.
Oh, okay. Nolathan. Thank you. Because I couldn't think of one. I was like, you know, that's good. Thank you. Yeah, I was like, a lot of times, like The Screams, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Cabin Fever, like all these movies, like,
Jason versus Freddy. Oh,
you know, come on, Kelly, you know she got murdered.
I just realized Kevin Williamson did this twice in a row. I don't know if he wrote the second. I still know what you did last summer.
Oh, Escape Room 2. Escape Room is the other one.
The first Scream has like no black people in it, and then the second Scream has like a bunch of black supporting characters in it, and then the same thing happened with I Know What You Did Last Summer. First, I Know What You Did Last Summer, no black people. Second one, they're like, all right, cool, we're gonna have two.
Isn't there a show, I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Oh, yeah, it's coming out. Yeah. Well, listen, here's the thing. The whole time I was watching this movie, I was like, you know what'll make this movie better? This will make it better. Okay.
What?
So they're there, right? They're in the store. And they're trying to kill Sam, right? They're trying to like kill Sam.
Wait, they're trying to kill Sam?
Yeah, they're trying to kill Sam. Yeah. They're trying to kill Sam so they can resuscitate. And then just as like the skull face guy is about to kill Kate, suddenly a bloody basketball.
Why is it bloody?
Bounces in the frame, and the skull guy catches it, and we realize it's Kate's blood's on it. And suddenly we hear Steel being like, "That's Kate's blood. I got you covered."
James,
and
then no, I don't like this.
While the skull guy has the bloody basketball, the guy with the axe comes in and he axes the skull guy because he's like,
okay,
"Oh, that's Kate."
Okay, I see where you're going.
Interesting. I don't think it works that way, but okay.
He picks up the basketball and he's like, "What is he?" tries to start stabbing the basketball, and then the woman comes in singing, and then she stabs
James.
So then Steel's like, "I got it. I did it because I put the blood on the basketball."
Wait, how?
Not a good plan. That's definitely not going to work.
No, I feel like, you know.
Sorry, I just looked up. I Know What You Did Last Summer. The TV show is mad diverse. Ain't one black dude in this whole cast.
But it's really diverse.
It has almost every That's race good. Accounted for except for a black dude. Okay. I'm going to just start pointing that out when I see shit now.
Wait, I thought you said that
there's no black men. No black boys. No black man, no old black dude who's just like, "Hey, that nigga coming back." None of that. That's been happening a lot. Guess I'm gonna just keep pointing that out because people think it doesn't exist. Anywho, Bray, take us home, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Whatever you're into, with Amazon Prime, you can go deep. So if you're all about pop right now, you could watch pop documentaries on Prime Video. Discover pop playlists on Amazon Music Prime. And if you're really serious, Order a rhyming dictionary with fast free shipping from Prime. From shopping to streaming to saving, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Teams are the heart and soul of every company. And if you listen to Adobe's new podcast, The Power of Teamwork, you'll hear about why they're so important. Hosted by Adobe's Garrett Schwartz, The Power of Teamwork explores how collaboration fuels success through real-life stories across various industries. You'll even hear some of it firsthand from guests at HelloFresh, Gooder Sunglasses, Amazon's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and more. So listen and subscribe to The Power of Teamwork on Spotify now.
Earbuds looking a little dirty? Time to discover Clinear Ear Cleaners. Made of a soft, flexible material, Clinear Ear Cleaners remove excess earwax and provide relief from itchy ears and dry skin. They have a unique design with a scoop on one end to remove earwax and a fin on the other end to exfoliate dry skin. With Clinear, get the scoop on clean ears. Discover the line of products at Clinear.com.
We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not it helps the cause of leading Black actors in Hollywood. So if a film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. And if it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. Count of three, we'll raise up our ratings for this film. Ready? A one, a two, a three. Oh, three black fists. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, these movies were popular on Netflix and definitely should open up opportunities for both brother and the sister in this film.
I mean, I can't wait to see what they do. I enjoyed it. I think the director did a good job. Felt well crafted. It just felt like an overall good movie. So I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Black leads? Come on. In a horror film? Come on.
That's it. I'm excited to see these other two.
You should.
Yeah,
and we can review the third one for this.
The third one we can do. Can't do the second.
Right, the second one is a bunch of white people in the 60s.
Right, I mean they showed it. They showed all the white people.
You can't do that. I don't think there's a nigga in the background in the second one.
But they all get murked. So actually, I'm okay
who
with
we
that.
Gonna
I'm
talk
okay
about though?
You know what I mean? Like, it would actually feel a little weirder if it was just like one killer just killing a bunch of black people in the woods.
Regardless, no, that we'll need to watch the second one in order to watch the third, right?
Shit.
I mean, it's how...
going to watch the second one. Yeah. I'm just saying, we're not going to review it, and I'm glad it's a bunch of white
people.
Yeah,
you got to watch the second one. Braylon Black, he can't even get it out. You got to watch the second one. But yeah, watch it. I'm curious to know what y'all think about it, period. I can tell you my favorites later.
All right.
In the series.
All right, cool. I mean, we might as well, right? We can do it. We could do it for the end of this.
And so we're in October now. So like, what else we got? What other Halloween? We got Spiral. What other Halloween movies are in the streets?
Escape Room 2.
How many senseless deaths do we think are in Spiral?
They're all senseless. What are you talking about? Most horror movies have senseless deaths.
Am I going to be able to handle that?
I don't know.
People killing
the thing
people
about the
Saw
movies,
no
they got so graphic. I'm like, I don't know if I can. This comes out on the 27th. So
this is pre-Halloween.
I already said this. I told these guys before. No.
Nah,
we
start
one more
early.
Week before it's October. And they were like, nope. They're like, I don't care. Let's do it now.
True.
I was like, all right.
Halloween. I love Halloween.
That is something I said.
So I guess we're going to do five horror films.
Come on, baby. I'm here for it.
Yes, there is. There's not enough black leads.
Well, we're doing two Fear Streets.
There you
though.
Go.
Yeah, we do have to do another Fear Street. That's for sure.
And then we'll do Spiral. Oh, and we also just did Candyman like 2 weeks ago. So I think we're doing a ton.
We don't have that bitty. All right, anyway. Okay. Break. Is that it? Are we done?
That's it.
So then Steel's
like,
thank
you so much for listening.
Like,
James, you did it.
Enough
you
that.
Did it. You did it.
You can follow us at Black Man Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, blackmanpodcast.com. is our website where you find links to our merchandise. We got like t-shirts, we got iPhone covers, we got pillows, all things like that. We also have a defunct Patreon. We don't do new episodes anymore, but there's a year's worth of them. So if you pay $5, you can listen to those and then unsubscribe whenever you like. You don't have to remain subscribed. If you don't want to, you can just support the podcast. That's great too. And if you review us on iTunes, give 5 stars. We'll read your review on the air. This one is from DC Hoya Gal 2. Loved you since day one. I've loved this show since you began all those years ago. It's been a while. I would have had a chance to see you live at South by Southwest, but the culture and sensitive schedulers had you at the same time as Robin Thede, and I'm a black woman first. I'm always on your side, especially
I respect that.
Especially now that the Swirl is RIP.
See?
Though I understood the intent behind its existence.
People hate the Swirl, man.
And I was raised DC and PG. Now I live in the Commonwealth.
Oh, sorry.
James III, I love that you are so happy being yourself at all times. And your cat Williams is fire.
Great.
And then Braylock, you have brilliant analysis. Thank
Ooh,
you.
Brilliant.
However, wait a minute, what? Those transitions are painful. And I'm choosing to believe that you're forcing it on purpose. No, it's. I don't even
don't
know
do
that
this.
Happened.
Don't make it don't like. Do don't this. Make it like. It's just like. Ugh, I hate this.
Jarrell, let me lie to myself. As a request, please review Something New. It's one of my favorite movies. Oh, the movie.
Oh,
is
the one with Sanaa Lathan when she dated the white dude.
Oh my. Hugs, TB. Thank you. Wow, what a great.
Why are you reviewing that movie?
Hold on, she said. She's glad that the Swirl is done and then suggested that we review...
A movie with Sanaa Lathan dates the white dude.
A movie with a swirl in it?
The thing is, literally, someone was talking to me about some movie that came out and I was like, yeah, man, you can see a white dude with a woman of color like, and people be like, all right, let them...
Ooh, also, this movie had mad swirls. It was all swirls.
No, it had a lot of black people in it, but the main thing was just like, she started dating... this white dude, but then what's that other handsome black guy's name? He's mad handsome. Everybody auntie liked that. Blair Underwood liked her, but she was picking.
Okay, it's crazy because you said everybody's auntie, and I thought Blair Underwood, and that's
right,
who it was.
Well, why you hating on Blair Underwood?
We can
why
get
you trying
here?
To cut me off when I'm talking about Blair Underwood, right. Bray?
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Melissa, be real. Your aunties like Blair Underwood. Everybody aunties like Blair Underwood.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!